Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Between reading your brain on nature and reading about animals who have been recruited for various types of therapy, I couldn't help thinking about animals' capacity and our expectations. Among the more distressing news items across my desk was an essay written by a scientist who has devoted her life to studying dolphins. She was the first person to discover that they were self-aware using the mirror test, which isn't one of my favorite tests, but it seems to be one that humans like a lot. Fortunately for the dolphins, they apparently figured out a way to convince us that they're a visually oriented species, which is what we seem to need to believe that another living being is self-aware. But if they can't do that, then we say they're lesser beings and treat them any way we want. In her essay, the researcher discussed dolphin-assisted therapy and how often these programs are shams. They appeal to people who want to get close to nature, but sadly and questionably, a lot of times they offer therapeutic benefits, particularly with children with learning disabilities and conditions like autism, and there's no supporting evidence of this. Of course they gush because the novelty of the experience to be next to an animal that large in the water is pretty doggone overwhelming. So overwhelming, in fact, that it's impossible to believe that such an event wouldn't be life-changing, wouldn't be mind-changing. That's what parents sometimes convince themselves has happened. And then a month or 2 months later, when things go back to what they were, and they realize how much they spent, suddenly reality strikes. But more importantly, we are talking about some very intelligent animals here who are often exposed to a tremendous amount of stress. So much stress, and these animals succumb to physical problems that have strong stress components. But we have great expectations for them. Or at least some people have great expectations for them, and there's no shortage of other people who are willing to exploit those great expectations. Another tragic story had to deal with a child who was killed by a dog, an autistic child who was attempting to ride the dog, and the dog apparently had enough. This is a co-created human-canine tragedy. In a situation like this, with any child, the first question has to be, why? Why is this child allowed to even attempt this? Where are the parents? But it goes back to those great expectations. The more responsibilities that we can shift to animals, the less responsibility we have to assume ourselves. And so we have situations where physicians now prescribe animal companionship, as in go out and buy yourself 35 pounds of dog and take that dog for a walk and you'll feel better. Well, maybe you will, but maybe you won't. Depends on the dog. It depends on you. It depends on how much time and investment you're willing to make in that animal. But we have those great expectations, as if Spot or Fluff or Flipper is some kind of non-human miracle worker. And all we have to do is pay the money and we can claim that miracle for ourselves. I'm among the first to admit that given my choice between going into the woods or being with my dogs or my cat or watching the fish in my aquarium, versus taking some kind of pill, I'll opt for the natural route any day of the week. And I can see the appeal of miracle cures that are said to come from nature. Theoretically, they don't have negative side effects. But I think when we look at the negative side effects, we have to look at both sides of the equation. If I take some ibuprofen, I don't worry about the consequences for that pill because that pill is an inanimate object. But when somebody prescribes a dog or that swimming with a trapped, intelligent creature like a dolphin is a miracle cure that doesn't affect the animal, then I have trouble with that. But it all boils down to our expectations. There are a lot of things in nature, both plants and animals, that can certainly enhance the quality of our lives. But it's a two-way street. We have a responsibility to them. And most certainly, as parents, we can't expect animals to be doing the job that we should be doing ourselves.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.